You're listening to the FQXI podcast. Oh my, there's been a lot happening in physics news in July, and we thought we should quickly whip through it.
The most exciting of which is that FQXI has announced its newest round of grantees to research the physics of what happens. Details are available on the website fqxi.org.
Seriously, Brendan? You're going to go with that as the most exciting thing of July over, for instance, us receiving the first close-up images of Pluto following a nine-year journey to the dwarf planet, or the creation of a whole new particle, the pentaquark at the LHC, or even the discovery of Kepler-452b, also dubbed Earth 2.0 because it's so similar to our homeworld.
Okay, I'll admit, those were impressive. So yes, first of all, congratulations to NASA's New Horizons team. Their spacecraft flew within just 12,500 kilometers of Pluto and beamed back that now iconic image of the planet with a heart.
Astronomers and astrophysicists, just like the rest of us, have been getting excited about the images and the data as it's been coming in. The day after the spacecraft made its closest approach, I attended an astrophysics meeting organised by University College London at the Royal Astronomical Society. There I managed to grab a couple of minutes to chat with cosmologist Andrew Ponson from UCL, who described the excitement of the flyby to me.
What's remarkable is that this is the last kind of unexplored world in our solar system. And, you know, just over the last few days, it's turned from something which is just a few pixels. You know, our best picture of Pluto just a couple of weeks ago was just a few pixels, really, on a screen. It looked totally unremarkable. And now suddenly it looks like a world. You know, it's almost like discovering it all over again.
So we have seen, you know, this wonderful image that came out with Pluto with a heart on it, and just everybody's getting really, really excited. And it's quite breathtaking and really quite inspiring. But what sort of things can astronomers learn from these kinds of things? I mean, it's a flyby. They haven't sent a lander down. And, you know, one of the questions from one of our listeners was actually, you know, why aren't they sending something down there? But, you know, what sort of information can we still get from this? Because I understand that they're waiting for data to come in.
Yeah, well, the reason you can't send something down onto the surface is just because you're zipping past so fast. So it's an incredible achievement to even get there. But to stop when you arrive would be even harder. So it really is a very rapid fly past. And as they go past, they're trying to get as much information as they can. So that involves not just taking pictures, but there are a range of probes that will gather lots of different physical information, which I think, you know, that this data, it's going to take a long time to be sent back, and people are probably going to be poring over it and trying to understand exactly what it tells us for at least a decade.
Some of that data that Ponson's mentioned has already started coming back and has revealed some surprises, including mountains of water ice that are more than 3,500 metres high. There's some really nice roundups of what we've learned so far in Nature by Alex Witzer, and I'm linking to those on the podcast page, www.fqxi.org/community/podcast. According to Witzer, NASA scientists know that the mountains on Pluto must be made from water ice because only water ice could buttress such huge ridges at temperatures just 50 degrees above absolute zero. The planet also has far fewer craters than scientists might have expected, which could mean that its surface is relatively young, possibly just 100 million years old.
There's also a surprising amount of geological activity on the planet, which suggests that there's an ocean buried under the surface. The ocean could be kept warm by radioactive elements in Pluto's core, but we'll need more data to find out. Also, that bright heart on the surface that's capturing everyone's imagination has a concentration of carbon monoxide ice. And nitrogen glaciers appear to be flowing around mountains and ponding in craters.
At the time of recording this podcast, only about 5% of the data gathered during New Horizons flyby has been received, so there'll be plenty more to come in future months. But based on the reaction to the first images, I had one important question left for Ponson. Okay, so one last question that I have to ask you, because, you know, this has been on Twitter, this has been in the media, you know, there's this question, should Pluto be called a planet again?
I have to say, I have to go with my heart on this. I think yes. I mean, it just, it looks like a planet, doesn't it? I know all my colleagues in planetary science is probably going to kill me for saying that, but you just have to say yes.
So Andrew Ponson wants Pluto to have its full planetary status back. I have to say, I don't mind either way, but I know a lot of people would be happy with that, since they still can't figure out what their very educated mother just served them 9 of. How about you, Zia?
Well, you know, I what's wrong with being called a dwarf planet? That's what I say. But then I'm quite short, so maybe I'm biased.
Well said.
Thank you. But the Pluto flyby wasn't the only big physics news on the 14th of July. Particle physicists at the LHCb experiment at CERN announced the discovery of an elusive new particle, the pentaquark. The discovery was made by accident, as the physicists were not even searching for it, according to a new story, New Scientist, by Gilead Amott, also linked to on the podcast page.
Quarks are elementary particles that are the building blocks of matter. The neutron and the proton each contain 3 quarks. Particles made up of 2 quarks are also familiar to physicists.
You may remember physicist and FQXI member Ian Durham talking about the history of the reported detections of the tetraquark, a particle made up of 4 quarks, on our end-of-year news roundup last year too, which we've linked to on the podcast page. Since the 1960s, physicists have also predicted that a pentaquark with, you've guessed it, 5 quarks could also exist, and that's what's been spotted at the LHC.
Or has it? The team infer that a pentaquark was produced as an intermediary particle, when another particle, called the lambda b, decayed in a number of steps. But there's still some question over whether it should be rightly be considered as a particle of 5 quarks, or a mini molecule, made up of a particle with 2 quarks added to a particle with 3 quarks. Particle?
Mini molecule.
Planets?
Dwarf planet.
Tomato.
Tomato.
Potato.
Potato.
Oh, let's call the whole thing off.
But oh, if we call the whole thing off, then we won't be able to discuss the next big news item of July, as NASA announced a new haul of planets orbiting other star systems, as spotted by the Kepler telescope, including Kepler-452b, the most Earth-like planet we have yet discovered.
That's right. Kepler-452b lies 1,400 light-years from Earth in the constellation of Cygnus in our galaxy. Due to its size and age, it could be a rocky planet with a thick atmosphere and active volcanoes, although that's speculation based on modeling rather than known facts. Writing for Space.com and Scientific American, Mike Wall notes that Earth's twin is 60% wider and about 5 times more massive. So it's likely that gravity on its surface will be twice as strong as here on Earth. And it orbits its star at a similar distance to Earth's orbit around the Sun. A year on Kepler-452b lasts 385 days, which I think means that you get 20 days extra holiday time there.
Oh, I wish. That also means that it lies the right distance from its star, which is 1.5 billion years older than our sun, to allow liquid water to exist on the surface. And in turn, that means it could host life.